Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
It's good to be back here again with you.
That's always good to be here on Sunday night.
Always.
Always.
Never a dull moment.
That's right. And here we are, you know, we're in a new, well, not a new series anymore. We're kind of in a series.
Three shows into it, yeah.
We never know what's going to happen in a series, but we're doing a series that we commonly call The One New Man, which is kind of a weird name, but it comes from Ephesians chapter 2, and we got, I don't know, over the last couple of weeks or so, I think we got from about verse 11 to 17, mm-hmm. but I think since in case some of you weren't here for the last two shows or...
You mean in studio with us?
Or listening,
I'm sorry.
Listening on the air.
I'm sorry.
Or didn't hear the shows on the website, or didn't hear the podcast, or were somehow incapacitated, or you were on a mission trip to Botswana.
Say it's not so.
Yeah. If you were on a mission trip to Papua New Guinea.
Yeah.
Or you went on a cruise to Antarctica and somehow missed it. Actually, one of the guys in one of my home groups did recently go to Antarctica.
I did some work with missionaries that were from Papua New Guinea.
Did you?
Yeah. I think you knew
Very
that.
Very good. We should have him on the show.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you go to the website, you can hear the last couple of shows that were about this. But I think, in case you weren't with us, we probably should have Stephen read that passage again so you kind of know where we are, with emphasis on verse 17 on.
Yes.
Why don't you just go ahead and read the whole passage?
Okay. Therefore, remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by those called the circumcision, which is done in the flesh by human hands, were at that time without Christ, alienated from the community of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have become near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, he who made both one and broke down the dividing wall of enmity through his flesh, abolishing the law with its commandments and legal claims, that he might create in himself one new person in place of the two, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile both with God in one body through the cross, putting that enmity to death by it. Excuse me. He came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the holy ones and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the capstone. Through him the whole structure is held together and grows into a temple sacred in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit.
Ooh.
Man.
That's still awesome, no matter how many times I hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So up to now, we've talked about how in his flesh he brought down this middle wall, the wall of partition, which was the law, which was between the covenant people and the uncovenant people, between the Jews and the Gentiles. And that wall's been brought down.
Mm-hmm.
So he's made one new man out of the two. He's broken down the enmity between the two. He's made peace between the two. He's reconciled the two. And in addition to that, has reconciled the human race, which is a combination of Jew and Gentile, to the Father, all in his flesh, as Paul says there. And we can't recap everything we did in the last two shows. You can go back and listen to it. But basically, it's all through what he did on the cross that accomplishes this.
Mm-hmm.
So now there is one body of believers, the body of Christ, the body of the Messiah, which are Jew and Gentile. Mm-hmm. And Paul loves to emphasize this as the former Pharisee,
yes,
where he says there's no longer Jew or Greek, male or female, slave and free, and so forth and so forth, because we're all in the family. And you brought up the good point last week, Stephen, about how we call God Father. Mm-hmm. And now it doesn't matter if we're a Jew or a Gentile. Right. If we're believers in Jesus, the Messiah, we can say Abba, Father, and we're adopted sons and daughters and co-heirs with Christ in the kingdom, right, just like the covenant people were his people in the Old Testament.
Right. I mean, think about it. You go to a party or a reception or something, and your parents are there, or my parents are there, and somebody would come up to my father and say, "Hi, Dad."
That's good.
I would look at them like, "What? what do you mean?" Well, you know, your dad's my dad. No, that's not how it goes. You know, that's biologically, that's not possible. But with God, we call him Father, because spiritually we're adopted through the blood of Messiah. And Jesus ransoms us by his own blood, and we're adopted into the family of God. You know, so one of the things that struck me when I was reading this passage this week that didn't stick out to me last week, but through him, through Christ himself, the whole structure is held together and grows.
Yes. Yeah.
A living thing grows.
We need to talk about that.
Something
today.
That is dead does not grow.
That's right. Amen. Exactly.
The body of Christ is alive.
Good point.
It grows. You know, if a plant is healthy, it grows.
Yes.
If it's not healthy, it dies.
Right.
So that's a very important point that as I was reading this, that jumped out at me. That grows into a temple sacred in the Lord. In him, you are also being built together into the dwelling place of God and the Spirit.
Yeah. We ended up at the end, and I want to develop that because that's a very important point about this building, this structure. Because after all, you know, the church is the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit dwells in the church.
Right.
You know, the New Jerusalem is described as a structure. Mm-hmm. And but where that comes from is the fact that it says there, starting in verse 17, that he preached peace. We talked about this to both groups,
right,
and to those far off, which was the Gentiles and people in the future who become believers. And he proclaims this peace based on what he did, because he's the true peace. He's the true shalom. He's the eternal peace. And if you're in his presence and you're being saved, this is the best peace you can have.
Oh, man.
Yeah, this is way better than saying, well, I'm going to have a couple of days of vacation, so I'm just going to be at peace because I'm going to turn off my phone and I'm going to get out of town for 3 days. And, you know, that's nice and that's relaxing, but it isn't peace.
Right.
It isn't true peace. You're still carrying around your sin nature, and you're still going to be attacked by, you know, the demonic kingdom and people.
Right.
I mean, all those things are still going to go on. What we mean when we say peace is it's relatively better than it was before.
Yeah.
He's talking about true peace. He's talking about being in his presence and being saved. The world can't do that. The law couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting, too, is, you know, when you talk about going to those far off, he's also talking about the messengers are going to take that message.
Mm.
You know, those original disciples and the people who heard them and the people who heard them and the people who heard them right down to, you know, September of 2014, where we are still going out and preaching that message.
Yeah.
And when we deliver the message, it's the same as if he delivers the message.
Mm-hmm.
The apostles, there's all the other disciples and us. If they reject us, they reject him. If they despise us, they despise him. If they despise the message, they despise him. And in other words, if they don't listen to the message, they're not getting that true peace that his message brings. And as the only access to the Father, they're going to miss that. And it's interesting. It says those that were far off have been brought near. Like, boy, in his time, you know, in Paul's time, what are we talking about? We're talking about there's Gentiles all over the world, and there's a very small group of covenant Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those people that are far off, meaning all those Gentiles, I mean, there were Gentiles and the whole rest of the world, they now are brought near because of what Jesus did in his flesh, and he's preached peace to all of them that were far out, far off.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, they're all brought into this house, into this structure.
Yeah.
And as he puts it, the Gentiles are now fellow citizens with the Jews. That never happened before.
Right.
That never happened before.
Right.
The Jews would have never said, when the Romans occupied, when the Babylonians occupied, whoever was occupying the land, the Jews didn't say, oh, welcome you guys. I hope we can just all kind of live together and we can worship together and we can kind of hang out and
mm-hmm.
we'll eat your food, you eat our food. We can both worship at the temple. Never.
Never, no.
Because there was a separation. But now the Gentiles are fellow citizens with the Jews. The Gentiles are no longer outcast. He says, you're no longer strangers and foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
The Gentiles were strangers and foreigners.
Yes.
They were the nations. I mean, they, if you were one of those Roman soldiers who got stationed in Israel of that time, and you saw all these people going to the temple, you'd look at them and say, what in the world are they doing up there?
Mm-hmm.
And if you went up there, you'd say, I still don't get what they're doing, because that wasn't part of you.
Right.
And the people who were in the temple didn't say to the Roman soldier, hey, come on in. We're having a, you know, we're having a little ice cream social after the service. So why don't you just come on in? Because the Gentiles were outcast. And now there's no such thing as being a stranger or a foreigner, because they're all members of one body.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what the new covenant is. This is the concept of the one new man, because that wall between them is gone. And now we're one body in Messiah, you know, as believers in the quote Gentile churches, we're used to saying the body of Christ.
Right.
But the concept is we're the body of Christ, as Paul points out in many places in his epistles, and we function together as the body.
Right.
And it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, because now the peace has been made between the two groups.
Exactly. You know, as you're talking, there's something from Matthew that I read earlier in the week that I think I'm going to bring up. And this is when Jesus asked the disciples, you know, who do people say that I am?
Yeah.
And Peter gets the intervention from the Holy Spirit and says, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah. And Jesus tells him, you know, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, Peter, but my Father in heaven.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Jesus goes on to predict his passion, his death, and, you know, Peter says, you know, God forbid nothing like that's going to happen to you. And then Jesus rebukes him and says, get behind me, Satan. You're an obstacle. But in the last few, in chapter 16, verses 24 through 28, it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and then he will repay everyone according to his conduct.
Mm.
Amen, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. That, you know, verse 27, for the Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and then he will repay everyone according to his conduct.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty stern.
Very stern.
Pretty stern.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're a disciple of the Lord, and we're an ambassador for Jesus, you know, are we proclaiming the forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus? Are we reconciling with our brothers and sisters? Because, you know, it's easy to think that Christ died for me, but, well, he couldn't have died for that other person.
I don't know about that guy. He's a wreck.
Yeah. It's pretty, in our own humanness, we, you know, in our own human stubbornness and, we can easily think something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is that Jesus did come and die for that other person. and he did die for that person who was far off. That's me.
Yeah.
The Gentile who was far off. He also came and died for the Jewish person that was near in the covenant.
That's right.
And
good
so
point.
This, you know, when you stand before the cross, and you see what Jesus had to endure, you know, it's kind of hard to really say, Lord, did you really die for that person? I mean, you'd have to be so desensitized to what God did and what Jesus did that
I wouldn't have died for that guy.
You know, Lord, what were you thinking? That guy? You know, if you're in that mindset, which I hope you're not. I hope nobody's not. But when we're in the world, we can think that way. You know, when we're in the world, we can think that way. And it can lead us down the wrong path and not proclaim the truth of what Jesus did for us.
Yes.
And that is reconcile us to the Father in one family.
Mm-hmm.
And share in that, that immense joy that God has for when, and what that immense joy that heaven rejoices. Scripture tells us, heaven rejoices when one person repents and comes to believe.
Those angels really know how to party.
Oh man, they, you know.
Yeah.
So this, you know, this concept of one new man, it's not so much a concept that it is the reality of what Jesus did.
Exactly. And the plan of salvation from the beginning.
And it's right. And it's not so much, well, I do believe in that, but I don't believe in that. It's really taking it, if you don't believe in it, it's really taking it in prayer and asking God, Lord, show me.
Yes.
You know,
exactly.
Show me if there's something in my heart where I separate the body.
Yes. That's right.
You know, because, I mean, standing before God, you have to get real. You know, you have to get past, I have to get past myself and say, Lord, show me where I'm proud. Show me where I'm holding on to something I shouldn't be holding on to. You know, every day, you know, Jesus says, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. It's a daily walk.
Yes.
And it hasn't changed.
Yeah.
It hasn't changed from
yes.
30 AD or 33 AD.
That's why
AD.
We always say, you know, you can't go to the cross with a proud, arrogant look to say, hey, thanks for dying for me, and here I am, and aren't you glad I'm here, and...
Let me tell you what I did for you.
Yeah, let me tell you what I did. I mean, compared to that guy hasn't done anything. Look at all the stuff I did.
Yeah.
That's the totally wrong attitude.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the thing that you just said, that has to be broken.
Yeah.
Or else you can never serve in the kingdom.
Right.
And the kingdom will keep dividing itself because there's too many people that have that attitude.
And it can't grow.
That's right. Oof, it's a break. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in just a minute.
Lamb upon the throne, all blessing and honor to our God forevermore. Together we come in one accord. The bonds of peace unite us in the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, clothe us with salvation, robes of purest white, the body of Messiah. We are precious in your sight, even so. Even so, Yeshua come. All creation
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Love that song, too. That goes without saying. So now, with this concept of the one new man, he also then next goes into describing it as a structure that's being built.
Yeah.
It's a dwelling place, he says, and it's built in the Spirit. In other words, in the Holy Spirit, this whole structure is built. And now we're all in the household. We're all living in the house, whether we're a Jew, whether we're a Gentile. Because remember, he just said the Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. They're fellow citizens. And it says they used to be strangers from the Commonwealth of Israel. But now we're living together in the same house built by the Spirit because of what Jesus does on the cross to reconcile the two, to break down the wall. So now you can look at it as we're in the Commonwealth of Israel, sort of a spiritual Israel, where we're included.
Right.
You know, at the end of the book of Revelation, the new Jerusalem comes down from the sky.
Yeah.
And we're all going to be living in it.
Exactly.
And it's a great picture that Jew and Gentile alike, no matter where you're from, because of Messiah, are going to live together as fellow citizens. And even us formerly unclean, still sort of unclean, people that would now have become fellow believers, all get to live in this kingdom and be adopted sons and daughters. And he compares it to a house and says it's built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
Christ is the cornerstone or the capstone.
Yeah.
He's the cornerstone. He supports the whole building.
Exactly.
The building is Jew and Gentile together. He doesn't just support Israel and the Gentiles are kind of like sagging down in this part of the house over here, or the Gentiles are living in the basement and the Jews are living in the nice part of the house. It's everyone is living as a fellow believer, and he is supporting the structure of it all as the cornerstone. Because after all, when you look through this whole plan of salvation, when you look through what all of the prophets said, and we're going to get to that, I don't know, later or maybe the next show, the prophets talked about what Messiah was going to do and gave a lot of pretty direct references to the fact that the nations, the Gentiles, were also going to be coming into this.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't going to be just for the Jews. And at the beginning, when the church was mainly Jewish believers with some Gentiles coming in, you know, I think we talked earlier or last week, I can't even remember anymore, about the circumcised believers, which, of course, again, we have to say circumcision was a sign of the covenant. So when they talk about the circumcision and the uncircumcision, they're talking about covenant people, uncovenant people. So the believers in the circumcision were saying, well, wait a minute, people in people in Samaria are coming and people over there are coming. And like, how are we going to handle this? You know, why is the Holy Spirit falling on those Romans? I mean, doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So there was this problem with, well, we're all going to live together now. I don't know, because this was a foreign thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we're all living together in the house.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, she was a Samarian woman, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm.
And Jews didn't have anything to do with the Samarians. You know, Jesus tells her, they get into this little discussion about where to worship at. And, you know, the Samaritans worshiped on Mount Gerizim because that's where they worshiped at before. And but Jesus tells her, you're not going to worship there or in this temple. You're going to worship God because God looks for those who will worship him and worship him in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're reading through this, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 21, through him the whole structure is held together and grows into a temple sacred in the Lord. In him you are also being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Spirit of God that reveals that Christ is the Messiah.
Amen.
It's the Spirit of God that enables us to cry out, Abba, Father,
mm-hmm.
Daddy.
Exactly.
It's the Spirit of God that enables us to grow in our relationship with Christ, because the Spirit refines us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Spirit is the sanctifier. He sanctifies us if we cooperate with Him. And if we cooperate with God's grace and we turn to God every step of the way, we're going to be refined. You know, God sees us as He created us to be. And a lot of times, I think one of the biggest obstacles is that as human beings, we see ourselves as we are.
Yes.
In our own condition.
That's a good point.
In our own humanness. And how could God ever love me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a wreck.
I'm not worthy.
Like you said, you hear that
Guess
all the time.
Guess what? You're right. You're not worthy.
You're right. But the good news is the blood of Messiah has got you covered.
Amen.
And He's going to say, not guilty.
That's really good news.
That's really good news. So this being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
You know, what is that? What is that? That we worship God in spirit and in truth? Like Jesus tells the woman at the well,
mm-hmm.
God seeks those who are going to worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there Jesus is talking to this unclean woman.
Yes.
And the disciples come back and they're probably wondering, what in the world is going on here? He's going to be defiled.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking to this Canaanite woman. And
They had sandwiches and matzo ball soup.
I think they did.
They went to a Samaritan deli.
Oh.
Well, we don't know what they would have had.
They probably,
it was like more like a Subway.
They probably couldn't have gotten anything off the menu there.
It's mostly like a Subway.
Oh, man. We'll just have the kosher subs, please.
Well, the Samaritans did keep kosher. They kept the law. They kept the Torah. Go ahead.
Okay. So anyway, this family that grows, this family of God that grows together in the Spirit, is what happens in the Acts of the Apostles and all throughout the rest of church history.
Exactly.
And, you know, as we've talked before, sometimes we see that there's, you know, well, this church is thinking, you know, that church down the street, there's no way that the Spirit of God has fallen upon them.
Yeah.
No way. And the other church down the street is probably thinking the same thing. You know, Pastor Joe Schmo up there's no way the Spirit's going to fall on him because he's a wreck. You know.
Did you see those people going over there?
Did you see the crowd that's over there? Nah, never way. God would never pour His Spirit out upon those people.
They're not even dressed nice.
If the disciples had that attitude towards the Gentiles in the first century, they would have squelched the Spirit of God something
fierce. Yeah, right
fierce.
Then. Yeah. It would have really inhibited church growth.
Yeah, a lot. But, you know, as we've talked about, they embraced this whole change that was happening. As it's happening, I mean, we have 2,000 years of church history to digest all this.
Right.
And yet we bicker with each other beyond belief.
Yeah.
And think we know more than they did.
Yes. And as church history has gone on, and church history, of course, the history of all the believers and Jewish believers as well, as church history has gone on, it says, you know, Paul writes there that as they pray and worship together, it grows into a holy temple.
Yeah.
So the house is still growing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's growing into a holy temple. So if we're growing into a holy temple, we shouldn't be bickering with each other.
Right.
We shouldn't be saying, listen, you guys are going to have to move to the basement because, number one, we don't like the way you guys are dressed. Number two is you stand wrong when you say the prayer. And number two is you don't do this and we do that.
Right.
So you guys move to the basement. We're going to be on this floor.
Yeah.
And these other guys, you move to the other end of the living room. We don't want you to be on the same side of the room that we are.
Right.
That's not how you build a holy temple.
No.
And Paul there says, as they pray and worship together, which is another important point that we did about the divisions. You know, when the Holy Spirit fell in the upper room, the people there were praying with one accord. The believers were all praying with one accord.
Right.
And in order for the church to grow, to keep growing into a holy temple, we should be of one accord with our message. That doesn't mean we have to agree on every little thing. We don't have to agree on everything. But the basic message we have to agree on. And this holy temple is the place where God's put his name. You know, through the Torah, God says, when you get to the land, there's going to be places I'm going to put my name. And eventually, the Temple Mount, when the temple's being built, God says, this is where I'm going to put my name. So where God puts his name is the center of the worship. And the center of the worship, like you said, is no longer at the Temple Mount. It's not on Mount Gerizim. It's everywhere because we worship in spirit and in truth.
Yeah.
And you can be in any country you can name worshiping in spirit and in truth. You don't have to be in one particular physical space.
Yeah.
But to grow into a holy temple, we have to be worshiping together with one heart.
Exactly. And
the church as a whole and each individual believer is a living temple. Mm-hmm. You know, we're temples of the Holy Spirit, Paul
says. Right.
And, you know, the Spirit dwells in us individually.
Yeah.
Just like he dwells in the church collectively.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the whole plan of salvation through the whole scripture before.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
Yeah, and we have to look, as we talked about when we did the series on the divisions in the body, we have to look at this very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Because the kingdom, this house, is very big. Very big. And you can go into one particular type of church and go, wow, I didn't know people worshiped like this.
Mm-hmm.
So your two reactions can be, oh, these people are all screwed up, or, wow, this is really interesting.
Yes.
But before you say these people are all screwed up, you have to be careful
right.
in how you say that and how you discern that.
Right.
And so the whole thing is a structure. The kingdom's very big. And as people worship together, it grows.
Yeah. You know, the one thing that comes to mind when you said that is, you know, when David danced naked before the ark.
Yeah.
You know, you know, Jesus is a descendant of David, you know,
yes.
and Israel is referred to as the house of David.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now I'm not advocating dancing naked before the ark.
No.
But, you know, David was...
Don't go dancing like that in your church either, because you might not be invited to come back.
Probably not. But the worship that we're talking about is, you know, do you stand in reverence and in mm-hmm. awe? Can you raise your hands and lift your hands and praise God?
Mm.
Or is that frowned upon?
Yeah.
Can you worship in spirit and in truth? Or is that frowned upon?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't stand the right way,
yeah.
you don't dress the right way, certainly, you know, there's nothing wrong with dressing up for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But if you don't have a night, you know, a suit and a tie, and you come presentable, Jesus isn't going to turn you away
mm-hmm.
and go, you know what? I died on the cross for you. The least you can do is put on a tie. But Lord, I don't have one. Well, I'm sorry, you're out.
Yeah.
Jesus isn't going to say that.
Yeah.
You know, so we get into all these man-made things
yeah.
that we end up splintering and dividing.
Yeah.
And segregating instead of building the body to grow into that temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yes. And you go, you know, remind me in the book of James, it says, if somebody comes into your assembly, somebody comes into your church, who's dressed ragged and is poor and isn't dressed like everybody else, and you say, hey, listen, it's okay if you're here, but you better go sit in the back because
mm-hmm.
we're saving the front for, like, the normal people.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah.
And, you know, as you were talking, too, about the dancing, you know, David danced before the ark, and his wife, who was King Saul's daughter, Michal, says to him, boy, you've really made a fool of yourself. Because you're dancing around and you're just trying to show off in front of the young women And because, you know, David was kind of known for that. But anyway, she says, you know, you've made a fool of yourself.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, I'll be even more undignified than this when I worship, because I'm dancing in the Lord and I'm worshiping the Lord. And if you think it's undignified, tough, I'll be even more undignified than this.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, then you go into the body of Messiah now and you have people who say, oh, dancing is a sin.
Yeah.
Then you have other people that say, oh, a woman who wears pants, that's a sin.
Yeah.
And oh, a woman who does, and oh, again, we don't wear that kind of thing here. And it just goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
When we're supposed to be worshiping together and building the structure.
Yeah. And, you know, dance is an expression of, you know, it's your whole body. It's expression of, you know, it's an expression of worship to God.
Yeah.
Music, song is an expression of worship to God.
Mm-hmm.
And to think that God doesn't delight in the condition of someone's heart who wants to express to him the love they have for him.
Yeah.
To say that that's not acceptable to God.
Yeah.
How do you know? Who made you the judge? Who made you the judge of it?
Hey, when people say they don't like music and they don't like praise and worship music, I say, boy, you're going to hate being in heaven. Because that's basically what it is.
You know, I have people tell me, I don't like the organ. I don't like the guitar.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm not there to get into an altercation with them about which instrument I play.
Yeah.
Because I can play either one. But...
Me too.
Can you
not
do,
well.
No, let's talk about minor chords for a second.
Oh, no.
Okay, we'll keep it major chords. It's not the instrument that you play.
Mm-hmm.
It's the condition of your heart.
Amen.
It's not whether it's chant or praise. It's the condition of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
God looks into the heart and sees the condition of your heart. It, you know, Jesus tells the Pharisees, you know, you're clean on the outside, but man, look on the inside and your cup is defiled.
Yeah, you're a wreck.
You're a wreck, and more than a wreck. So, looking in the exterior of, oh, I really don't like that instrument in the church. I don't think it has any place for it. Really? Is it? You know, is a person worshiping God in spirit and in truth? You know, those are all things that we see externally as human beings. And if there's truly some good discernment and we're being built together in the spirit, we would know what is of God and what is not.
Yes. Yeah.
There has to be spiritual maturity in the body to discern those things.
Yes.
And I think a lot of times it's where you find spiritual immaturity that you get all these divisions and all these wild ideas of, you know, we don't want this, we want that one. And it goes on and on and on. And it takes, you know, it takes a long time to mature and to grow. And especially in our culture today, we think that, well, you can go online and buy a degree for $49. So, and you don't have to really study for something.
You can just get ordained online.
Yeah, you can, or get ordained. You can have somebody write a term paper for you. You know, things like that. We're really not growing and doing what you're supposed to do before the Lord.
Yeah.
You're really cheating
and
trying to take a shortcut. And there's no shortcuts in spiritual maturity.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of the things that I think we probably should talk about that a little bit, you know, in later shows, is that spiritual maturity. Where Paul comes and says, you know, I couldn't give you solid food.
Mm-hmm.
I had to give you milk.
Yeah.
Because you're not ready for it.
That's right. And last time I was here, you guys were drinking milk, and you're still drinking milk.
Yeah.
How are you going to advance? And this is how this house is built. This is how the house becomes a holy temple.
Yeah.
And the divisions come. I mean, even with David, there were probably people that are saying, look at him dancing like that.
Yeah.
We don't dance like that when we worship.
Yeah.
And there's other people that are saying, hey, that's really cool the way he's dancing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and that still goes on today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were people that said, you know, Jesus cured a blind guy using mud,
mm-hmm.
and then he cured a blind guy by not using mud.
Mm-hmm.
So people became the Muddites and the anti-Muddites, and you had two denominations, used mud, didn't use mud.
Yeah.
But it goes on and on and on, and we covered divisions. But the big division between Jew and Gentile, the important thing is to not rebuild the wall of partition.
Amen.
Ooh, this is good.
This is a good song.
Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Boy, it's the last segment already.
Yeah, that's an awesome song. That's awesome. Worship in spirit and in truth.
Exactly. Yeah. Wow. And that's what it's all about. And because of the sacrifice of the Lamb that we've been talking about, the division should be gone. The wall of partition should be down. You know, Paul says the wall of partition was taken down, the middle wall of separation, the wall of partition, which was the Jewish law, which was the covenant. And, you know, it would be like if somebody professes their faith in Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, and then says, well, that's true, but I also have to sacrifice the lamb now. That would be a contradiction of the whole thing.
Wow.
That would be like leaving the substance, going back to the shadow. And, you know, I think we've covered that in past shows, but that would be rebuilding the wall of partition.
Well, yeah, because, you know, even if Jesus' sacrifice was once and for all, then why would you have to go back and sacrifice the blood of bulls and goats?
That's right. Then you would say the cross is not sufficient.
Right.
The blood of Jesus is not sufficient for my salvation.
Right.
It's just like saying, I believe that, but in order to be saved, I have to do all these things in a certain way for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Then you would be saying, well, it's good we have the cross, but that's not enough. I also have to do this other stuff.
Yeah.
And that rebuilds the wall of partition, even between different kinds of Gentiles.
And it empties the cross of its power.
And of its power and its meaning.
Yeah.
So this house that's built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, where Christ is the cornerstone and supports the whole structure, this has to grow by our unity.
Mm-hmm.
It's Hinei Matov. It has to grow by our unity. And this is how God shows his glory. He shows his glory in that he makes a plan of salvation that is open to everybody.
Yeah.
And I always go back, I know I've told you this a million times, I go back to the Sunday after 9/11 when somebody said, we have to pray for Osama bin Laden and the terrorists because Christ died for them too. And I said to myself, no, I'm not praying for them. I want them to go to hell.
Yeah.
I realized he was right, but my human emotions said, no way.
Exactly.
But of course he died for them too.
Mm-hmm.
Because to him, he wants them to be saved like he wants me to be saved.
Right.
But, you know, in our humanity, we say, no, not them.
Yeah.
Now, you know, we're not going to get into all that, but you know, God shows his glory through this plan.
Mm-hmm.
And it certainly wasn't a surprise to anyone who knew the scriptures that Gentiles would be included.
Yeah.
And it's too late in this show to get into a series of prophecies that are in my favorite major prophet, Isaiah, about Gentiles being included. But the important thing, too, is even in salvation, God shows his glory because he makes a plan of deliverance, makes a plan of redemption that has to do with him in a way that everyone can come, regardless of who you are, what you were before, where you live, and you can come into the kingdom to have access to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the ultimate good news. This is the new Jerusalem descending from the heavens that it talks about in the book of Revelation. And it's that house that grows into a temple of glory. And we, as believers, have to understand and be humbled by the fact that this plan of salvation is presented to us individually, and it's presented to every individual, and that's how they come into the house.
Yeah, and it becomes communal.
Yes.
And the whole communal aspect of worship, of fellowship,
mm-hmm.
of the community, the body of Christ, is one that's so important, because the body of Christ is not just an individual.
Mm-hmm.
It's millions and millions of individuals. It's billions of individuals
mm-hmm.
that make up the body of Christ. And, you know, without it,
mm-hmm.
we diminish the whole.
Yes.
You know, we just diminish everything that God's trying, that God has given to us
right.
through his Son, Jesus Christ.
Right. And it's not just us that are here. It's the people who have come before us that were also
right.
believers. It's the people, you know, as it says, he preached peace to those that are far off all
yeah.
through the centuries.
Yeah.
Like the believer who died in the year 1310, who's in heaven with him now, is mm-hmm. part of the body.
Yeah.
Just because I'm living here in 2014 and I'm still alive, I say, oh, that guy who died in 1310, you know, he was part of the body. I don't know where he is now, but he was part of the body. No, of course he's still part of the body.
Right.
Because it's the whole kingdom.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes it's easy to, when somebody's not acting in a Christian-like manner or a Christ-like manner, to, you know, to get really frustrated and with somebody else. but, you know, when somebody's not following God, when they're not walking with the Lord, what do you expect them to act like?
Yeah.
You know, and so we have to, you know, there's that whole component of walking with each other and exhorting each other
mm-hmm.
to grow in the Lord, to
That's
grow
right.
and to take off the old self and put on the new self, mm-hmm. the new person.
And have Jesus, metanoia.
And have metanoia, yeah. You can't have this fellowship without being born again, without being renewed. In and through Christ.
Yeah. What fellowship can light have with darkness, as the word says.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, the light always wins out.
Yeah. And and even though the Gentiles were dark
mm-hmm.
and the Jews were to be the light to the nations, the light to the Gentiles, and little baby Jesus, little baby Yeshua at day 40 of his earthly life, when the prophet Simeon said he's the glory of Israel and a light to the Gentiles,
yes.
you know, this was such a powerful prophecy. And I just wanted to read one thing from Isaiah. This is Isaiah 11, verse 10. In that day, there shall be a root of Jesse. Now, Jesse's David's father, of course, for those of you that I hope all you all know that. In that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner for the people. Okay, the people are the Israelites. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. In other words, there's going to be somebody from the root of Jesse, who's David's father, who's going to stand as a banner to his people, and the Gentiles are going to seek him.
Mm.
That's a phenomenal prophecy.
Yeah.
Written 700 years before Jesus was born. They didn't like Gentiles in those days. They didn't want Gentiles anywhere near their place. They were contaminated by Gentiles periodically.
Mm-hmm.
To all of a sudden, this root of Jesse was going to be sought by Gentiles. So here we are, not only in our time of 2014, rapidly approaching 2015, believe it or not,
mm-hmm.
even in not only in our time, but from the time that those first century evangelists started preaching to now, Gentiles have been seeking after the Jewish Messiah.
Yeah.
This was
mm-hmm.
prophesied. This is why the body exists and the wall of partition was broken down.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for that prophecy to come 700 years prior to Christ, and then be fulfilled 700 years later, I mean,
yeah.
that's a long time.
Yeah.
Long time.
Woo. I got lots of Isaiah stuff, but we'll do it till the next
yes.
show. Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we would pray that the one who is the banner to his people, the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus our Messiah, would be a light to you to draw you to him so that you would seek him, find him, and know him, and become a new creation in Christ Jesus. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gileotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.